We're going to talk about the disorders of the extensor mechanism of the knee chapter from the world's best free and peer-reviewed textbook, www.orthopedia.com, edited by Bernstein, Paney, and Vayet. But before you take a test, and certainly before you take care of a patient, don't rely on us. Read the book.
Okay, so let's dive into this. The extensor mechanism of the knee. Sounds technical, but it's pretty fundamental, right? Basically what lets us stand up, walk around.
Oh, absolute fundamental. It's this integrated unit we're talking about.
Yeah.
You really need all the pieces working together.
And those pieces are, remind us of the core components.
Sure. You've got the big muscle group up top, the quadriceps and its tendon, then the kneecap itself, the patella. And finally, connecting the patella down to the shin bone, you have the patellar tendon. Some people call it the infrapatellar ligament.
Quads, patella, patellar tendon. Got it.
Sure.
And when that chain breaks, you mentioned disastrous before we started. Why so critical?
Well, think about it. If any part fails, you lose the ability to actively straighten your knee or even just to stop it from buckling when you put weight on it. So basic things like walking, standing, gone.
Exactly. Normal life, normal walking, it really becomes impossible without a working extensor mechanism.
Mm.
Its integrity is just, well, it's non-negotiable.
Okay, so to understand how it fails, maybe we should look closer at how it works normally. Let's start with the quads. Four muscles, right?
That's right. You have the three vastus muscles, lateralis on the outside, medialis on the inside, and intermedius kind of deep in the middle. They mostly start on the femur, the thigh bone.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the fourth one, the rectus femoris. It sits more on top.
And they all come together. Where?
They converge into that common quadriceps tendon, usually about, 5 centimeters or so above the patella.
But the rectus femoris is a bit different, isn't it? Doesn't it cross the hip, too?
It does, yeah. That's a key point. The vastus muscles really just act on the knee, but the rectus femoris starts way up on the pelvis, so it helps flex the hip and extend the knee. Biarticular, we call it.
Ah, okay. So problems there could affect hip motion, too. Interesting.
Yeah, definitely. It adds a layer of complexity.
So these muscles pull on the quad tendon, and then we get to the patella, the kneecap. You called it critical. Why? It seems like just a little bone sitting there.
Huh. It seems small, but biomechanically, it's a powerhouse. It functions like a lever, or maybe more accurately, it increases the moment arm of the quadriceps.
Moment arm. Okay, physics slashback, explain that a bit.
Right. Think of trying to turn a stiff bolt. If you use a short wrench, it's hard work. Put a long pipe on the wrench handle, that extra length is your moment arm, and suddenly it's much easier.
Okay, I get that.
The patella does the same thing. It sits out in front of the knee joint's hinge point, the center of rotation. By doing that, it pushes the quad tendon and patellar tendon away from that center.
It increases the leverage.
Precisely. It gives the quadriceps muscle a significant mechanical advantage.
And the impact is substantial.
Huge. The chapter is really clear on this. Take the patella away, do patellectomy, and the strength of knee extension drops by at least 30%, maybe even more.
Wow. Just from that one little bone redirecting the force.
It's all about the geometry. That leverage boost is absolutely essential.
Okay, structure and function make sense. Let's talk disorders. The chapter mentions two main types, tendinopathy and then the big one, rupture. Tendinopathy first, that's more chronic.
Yeah, tendinopathy is often this nagging chronic issue. It can be a precursor to rupture, but often it's just pain. Localized pain is the main complaint.
And the term itself, tendinopathy versus the older term, tendinitis, what's the deal there?
Right, good point. We used to say tendinitis all the time, and that tendinitis implies inflammation, you know, swelling, redness, heat.
Mm-hmm.
But when researchers actually looked at the tissue in chronic cases, they often didn't find classic inflammatory cells. What they found instead was, well, disorganized collagen, some degeneration. So tendinopathy, meaning a pathology or disorder of the tendon, is often a more accurate description. It's not always simple inflammation.
So it's more of a structural wear and tear, maybe?
Sort of, yeah. A degenerative process rather than purely inflammatory. Though there can be some inflammatory components sometimes, especially early on. But the chronic state is often tendinopathy.
And how does this feel to the patient? What do they report?
Typically, it's kind of an insidious onset. Sharp pain right at the front of the knee. Usually either in the quad tendon above the patella or the patellar tendon below it.
Worse with activity.
Definitely. Especially things like jumping, squatting, running downhill. Loading the tendon makes it hurt. But also sometimes pain just from sitting for a long time with the knee bent, the so-called cinema sign.
Okay. And on exam, you'd feel tenderness right over the affected tendon.
Exactly. Very localized tenderness.
Now, the chapter mentions a way to tell patellar tendinopathy apart from something more superficial, like bursitis down there.
Huh.
The pinch test.
The pinch test.
That's
quite neat, actually. If you suspect infrapatellar bursitis, that's inflammation of the little fluid sac right under the skin over the patellar tendon, you gently try to pinch the skin and the underlying bursa between your thumb and forefinger.
Okay.
If that pinch reproduces their specific pain, it's likely the superficial bursa. But if the problem is deep within the tendon itself, that superficial pinch shouldn't really hurt. The pain generator is deeper.
Clever. Helps you pinpoint the structure.
It's a useful little clinical trick, yeah.
All right, let's switch gears to the more dramatic event. Acute rupture. This isn't nagging pain. This is sudden failure. What do patients typically feel?
Usually they report a distinct moment. A tearing sensation, sometimes an audible pop right when it happens. It's often associated with a specific activity or injury.
And the mechanism differs depending on which tendon breaks, right? Patellar versus quad.
Big difference.
Mm-hmm.
For the patellar tendon, the one below the kneecap rupture is often seen in younger athletic people. Think jumping sports.
Like basketball.
Exactly. Basketball, volleyball. The mechanism is usually a forceful eccentric contraction. That means the quad muscle is firing hard while it's being stretched, like when landing from a jump with a knee bent and foot planted. That huge force just rips the tendon, often right off the bottom of the patella.
Ouch. And the quadriceps tendon rupture above the patella.
That's a different story, typically.
Mm.
It's much more common in older folks, say over 40. And it's often linked to underlying degenerative changes that have weakened the tendon over time.
So it doesn't take as much force?
Often not. The classic story is someone tripping, maybe falling backwards slightly, trying to catch themselves with their foot planted and knee bent. The muscle contracts hard against that unexpected flexion, and the weakened tendon gives way.
So age is a massive factor here.
It's one of the biggest clues, honestly. Tendinopathy is common across ages, but actual ruptures are rare overall. When they do happen, though,
yeah,
over 80% occur in people over 40 years old. And in that group, it's almost always the quadriceps tendon that ruptures.
And under 40.
Under 40, if there's a rupture, it's much more likely to be the patellar tendon, the athletic injury pattern.
That's a really strong correlation. Quad tendon for the older crowd, patellar tendon for the younger athletes.
It's a very helpful pattern to keep in mind. And for the quad ruptures in older patients, you always have to think about underlying systemic issues too.
Like what?
Things like chronic kidney disease, diabetes, long-term steroid use, certain inflammatory conditions. They can all weaken tendon tissue and make it more prone to rupture, sometimes even with minimal trauma.
Okay, important risk factors to screen for.
Definitely. Always part of the history taking.
We have been talking about a chapter from the free and peer-reviewed textbook Orthopedia at www.orthopedia.com, edited by Bernstein, Pinney, and Vayet. But before you take a test, and certainly before you take care of a patient, don't rely on us. Read the book. All right, so someone comes in after that pop or tearing sensation. What are we looking for on physical exam for a rupture?
Well, usually there's immediate pain, significant swelling around the knee, tenderness right over the torn tendon. And often you can actually feel a gap, a defect, where the tendon should be, either above the patella for a quad tear or below it for a patellar tendon tear.
And the function, what can't they do?
The hallmark of a complete rupture is the inability to actively extend the knee. They just can't straighten it out against gravity.
Mm.
Often, they can't even do a straight leg raise, lift their whole leg off the bed because the knee just flops into flexion.
Total loss of that connection.
Right. But there's a catch with partial tears.
Ooh.
If it's only a partial tear, or if the tissues on the sides of the patella, the retinaculum, are still mostly intact, the patient might still have some ability to extend the knee, maybe even hold it straight if you help them get there. It can be a bit confusing.
So the physical exam might not be totally clear-cut for partial tears. That's where imaging comes in.
Exactly. Imaging is crucial.
Yeah.
You absolutely need plain x-rays first.
Yeah.
Always.
To rule out fractures, obviously, like a patella fracture.
Yes, rule out fractures. But the x-ray tells you something vital about the soft tissues, too.
Yeah.
Specifically on the lateral view, the side view of the knee.
So.
It shows you the position of the patella. Remember how the patella is anchored top and bottom?
Yeah.
If the quadriceps tendon ruptures up top, the patella gets pulled downwards by the intact patellar tendon. It sits too low. We call that patella baja baja, meaning low.
Okay, low patella means quad rupture.
Right, and conversely, if the patellar tendon ruptures below, the quadriceps muscle pulls the patella upwards, unopposed. So the patella sits too high. That's patella alta. Alta meaning high.
High patella means patellar and tendon rupture. Got it. Baja is quad, alta is patellar. Those are the key signs on x-ray.
Those are the money signs on the lateral x-ray. Tells you immediately where the rupture is.
And what about MRI? When do you need that?
MRI is really helpful if there's uncertainty. Is the tear partial or complete? How good is the remaining tissue quality? Is the retinaculum involved? It helps with surgical planning, especially in complex or delayed cases.
Makes sense. Let's quickly recap the differential diagnosis. If someone has that focal anterior knee pain, we're thinking.
Tendinopathy, maybe patellofemoral pain syndrome, which can overlap, or bursitis. Those are the common ones for localized pain.
And if the main issue is they can't extend the knee?
Then it's either extensor mechanism failure, the rupture we've been talking about, or potentially a mechanical block inside the joint.
Ah, right. Like something physically jamming the joint, preventing motion, like a big meniscus tear.
Exactly. A displaced bucket handle meniscus tear is a classic example of something that can lock the knee and prevent extension.
So how do you tell the difference clinically? Inability to extend from a torn tendon versus inability to extend from a locked joint.
The key is passive motion.
Okay.
If it's a true mechanical block, like that meniscus tear, you won't be able to passively straighten the knee either. It's physically blocked. But if it's extensor mechanism failure, a torn tendon, the joint itself isn't blocked. The patient can't actively extend it, but you should be able to passively move the knee through its full range of motion, including full extension.
Ah, active versus passive range of motion. That's the clinical pearl.
That's the big differentiator right there at the bedside.
All right, let's move on to treatment. Starting with tendinopathy again, the more common issue. What's the approach?
Well, since it's often related to overuse or overload, the first step is relative underuse or activity modification. You need to calm the tendon down.
But not complete rest, right? You mentioned that earlier.
Critically important, yes.
Yeah.
Complete immobilization is generally not recommended. It leads to muscle wasting, joint stiffness. It actually makes things worse long term. The focus is on relative rest and then controlled loading.
And the gold standard for that controlled loading seems to be eccentric exercises.
Absolutely. Eccentric strengthening protocols are really the cornerstone of evidence-based treatment for tendinopathy, especially patellar tendinopathy.
Explain eccentric again, quickly.
Sure. It's loading the muscle while it's lengthening. So for the quads, think about the lowering phase of a squat. You're controlling the descent that's an eccentric contraction.
And why is that so good for tendons?
The theory is that this specific type of high-controlled tensile load stimulates the tendon cells, the tenocytes, to remodel that disorganized degenerative collagen.
Yep.
It helps rebuild a healthier tendon structure. It's often done using things like decline squats to really isolate the patellar tendon.
Okay, eccentric rehab is key. What about other treatments? Injections, PRP, steroids.
Okay, so PRP, platelet-rich plasma. The evidence, at least as of when this chapter was current, was still pretty limited. Considered unproven, maybe experimental.
Mm-hmm, right.
Steroid injections, though, big no-no. They're generally contraindicated in or around the major extensor tendons.
Why is that? Pain relief sounds good.
Because steroids can actually weaken the tendon tissue itself. Injecting them increases the risk of the tendon actually rupturing later on. It's a known complication. So you avoid them here.
Yikes. Definitely avoid steroids. What about physical therapy modalities like ice or stretching?
Yeah, things like ice massage can help with pain. Specific stretches are important too. For patellar tendonitis, one technique mentioned is isometric flexion, stretching basically, contracting the quad while gently flexing the knee, which puts a stretch on the tendon.
Okay. And if months of good rehab, eccentric exercises, all that conservative stuff fails.
If someone is truly refractory after, say, 6 months of dedicated non-op treatment, then surgery can be an option. It usually involves debriding or cleaning out the diseased degenerative portion of the tendon.
And that works.
It actually has pretty good success rates, over 75% in patients who failed conservative care. So it's a reasonable option for those difficult cases.
Good to know. Now, shifting to the complete rupture, you said operative repair is the standard. Why not just let it heal?
Because it won't heal correctly on its own. The torn ends retract, and if they heal in that lengthened, gapped position, the patient is left with permanent weakness and what we call an extensor lag.
Extensor lag, meaning they can't fully straighten the knee.
Exactly. They might get close, but they can't achieve that last bit of full locked extension. And that lag significantly affects walking, climbing stairs, everything. Surgery is needed to bring the tendon ends back together accurately, restore the proper length and tension, and allow it to heal anatomically.
And how is that done? Suture it back together.
Essentially, yes. The goal is secure fixation of the tendon back to the bone. For quad tendon ruptures, that often means drilling tunnels through the patella and passing heavy sutures through the tendon and the bone tunnels. For patellar tendon ruptures, you might use suture anchors placed into the bone, or again, bone tunnels. You need a really strong repair.
Okay. And after surgery, what's the recovery like?
Post-op, the knee is typically immobilized in full extension, usually in a brace locked straight. Weight bearing is often allowed pretty early on, as tolerated in the brace.
Locked straight for how long?
Usually around 6 weeks or so, but during that time, controlled early range of motion exercises are often started within protected limits to prevent stiffness. Once the brace comes off around 6 weeks, then the real physical therapy begins.
And that's a long haul.
It is. Intensive PT for probably 3 to 4 months, focusing on regaining range of motion, then gradually rebuilding quadriceps strength. Full recovery and return to higher level activities typically takes around 4 to 6 months, sometimes longer.
And the final outcome, are patients back to 100%?
We have to be realistic with patients. While the outcomes of surgical repair are generally good to excellent in terms of restoring basic function walking, daily activities getting back to perfect is less common.
Meaning
many patients might still have some subtle residual symptoms long term, maybe some mild persistent aching, perhaps not quite regaining full quad strength compared to the other side, maybe losing the last tiny bit of flexion.
So good, but maybe not perfect.
Exactly. But compared to not having the surgery and living with a major extensor lag, the functional improvement is massive. It's considered a very high yield successful operation in orthopedics. The net benefit is huge. Okay, before we wrap up, let's crystallize those 5 key takeaways from this. Things you really need to remember.
Lay them on us.
1, the extensor mechanism. Understand it's that linked system, quad muscle tendon, patella, patellar tendon, all got to work together.
Got it. 2.
2, tendinopathy. Remember, it's often not classic inflammation, but more degeneration. Think opathy, not always itis.
Right, degeneration.
3, quadriceps tendon rupture. It's like older patient, often 40, maybe with underlying health issues, usually a fall or slip mechanism.
Okay, quad rupture older, 4.
4, patellar tendon rupture. Think younger patient, 40, athletic, often a jumping landing injury. Tears right off the patella usually.
Patella rupture, younger athlete, and 5.
5, the x-ray signs, patella alba low patella means quad tendon rupture, patella alta high patella means patellar tendon rupture. It was cold.
Baja for quad, alta for patellar. Well, perfect summary. You know, thinking back to that 30% strength loss without the patella, it really hammers home why getting that surgical repair right, getting the tension perfect, is so vital. It's not just connecting the ends, it's restoring that critical leverage. Any slight lengthening, that extensor lag, has huge functional consequences because you're messing with that crucial moment arm. Makes the stakes feel really high for diagnosis and treatment.
Couldn't agree more. Precision matters immensely here.
We have just discussed a chapter from the world's best free and peer-reviewed textbook of musculoskeletal medicine.
Orthopedia.
Orthopedia by Bernstein, Penny, and Vayet. It is available at www.orthopedia.com at no charge. And again, before you take a test, and certainly before you take care of a patient, don't rely on us. Read the book. You'll be glad you did.